You're listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 198. Interview with Lissa Anderson, recovering from pornography. Are you feeling the call to homeschool and you're not sure what to do? Or maybe you are already homeschooling and it doesn't look like what you hoped it would. My name is Megan Thomas and I'm a certified life coach, a mother of seven, and a homeschool pro with more than a decade of experience. I can show anyone how to create success in their homeschool, and I'd love to show you how. Are you ready? Okay, this is a very special treat today. I think I said a couple months ago that I'm just loving interviews, and this one is an extra special interview because this is the very lovely and wonderful Lissa Anderson, who I have known for a very long time now, I believe. I think I knew you when you were little, and we've been in a homeschool co-op together. I don't know how many years. Do you know how many years we've known each other?
I think I was 11, so like seven, I think.
Okay. It's been awesome. So I'm going to introduce you to Lissa and who she is, and then we're going to share her story and dive into some really cool stuff today. So Lissa, tell us about like how old you are, what are you into, homeschooling, all the good things.
Alrighty. So I am 17. I absolutely love homeschooling. I started when I was in kindergarten. I went to a couple months of kindergarten. Don't remember it at all, but I absolutely love homeschooling. currently, I'm really into flower pressing. We actually got a bouquet from my friend's wedding, and I decided to take it apart and put it together in flower pressing. So that's my current interest. I really like science and reading, like lots of history books. So yeah, just up to lots of school. I will graduate this year, and I'm super excited for that.
So what is your, I know people always want to know teens and homeschool, right? So like, will you graduate from anywhere or just graduate from your house?
Yeah. So I'll just graduate from our house. Our homeschool group does have like a graduation ceremony kind of thing. And I happen to be on the youth board this year, so I get to help plan that. So we might make it a bit more like,
yeah,
we get in some years because I get a pick, but yeah. So basically just from home.
Very cool. And what are your plans then later this year? Like fall time.
Yeah. After I graduate, my current plan is to stay home and live at home. I want to work and intern with a flower pressing company. I also want to intern with some business and event planning people just because I'm super interested in those things. And I currently have a passion for speaking and writing. So
yes. Hey, that's so fun. And those of you watching on YouTube, you'll notice George in my side ground because this is real life, right? And Lissa's mom's at her house trying to get dogs and kids to be quiet too. So exactly. How many siblings do you have? Tell everybody.
I have five siblings. So I have four brothers and one lovely sister, and they are absolutely a joy.
Yes. If you don't know the Anderson family, you're missing out because there's not one of them I don't just love. You're all just amazing, amazing humans. So Lissa, I said your name right. I was saying, and then I combined Lissa. So sorry about that. So okay. Lissa has a really neat story that I wanted to share for multiple reasons. First of all, I know how vulnerable it is to share your struggle, your journey through it, and then coming out on the other side. So I just, first of all, want to applaud you for being so brave and so amazing, because I know just even my own kids, how lovely and helpful it's been for them with different struggles they've had and different things to see like, wow, this is somebody that I really look up to. And she still has trials and she still goes through hard things and she's come out on the other side. And it doesn't mean you're never going to have a trial again, right? Or a temptation ever again, but hope that everything can always get figured out.
Agreed.
So I'm going to kind of turn it over to you and just ask you questions as you kind of share your story.
Okay. So my personal story, the specific one that we're talking about today, is after when I was in my mid-teen years, I was actually hanging out at a friend's house. And they introduced me to these online websites that had quizzes, one of which was like, for example, like Pride and Prejudice, which character you most like, which boy character in the book are you most likely to fall in love with, and so on. Things for Pride and Prejudice and other like classic quizzes. After they introduced me to that, I thought they were super fun and entertaining. And so in the future, when I was bored, I'd pull them up on my phone or computer and slowly after I had finished those, the websites would have suggestions pop up and I would click on them because I had already done those ones and I assumed they were fine. And so I clicked on those other quizzes and then it would be like, oh, I think you'd like this story. And so I would click on the story and they started out with super clean, like friendship stories. And then they started out with like little romantic stories. And then slowly over time, what began as a simple curiosity, the stories slowly became worse and worse and went from kissing to much more pornographic and inappropriate things. And I hid my struggle from my parents for a year. And by the time I ended up talking to them about it, I was completely addicted and spending hours a day reading these very pornographic things. It got so dark that I lost my complete testimony in Jesus Christ and like all gospel related stuff. And it was like super hard. I felt a lot of shame because I had always been this really good girl that thought I would never struggle. My family didn't think I'd ever struggle. But after I slowly got my parents' help, I started having long discussions, different counseling things, got in different recovery programs. And after a long time of working on it, I have since overcome my addiction and my struggles and now have passion to share with other people because I don't think anyone should have to go through it alone. And it's such a big problem. And mine got so dark. I want to help keep people from getting in the struggle. And if they are, help them figure out how to get out. So that's my story.
Thank you so, so much for sharing this. So I want to dive into this a little bit. So, and I think this is true for most kids, is that it started out as an accident. And started out probably something fairly tame.
Absolutely.
So like, do you feel like because it evolved so slowly is why they weren't red flags in the beginning to stop or what?
Absolutely. So not only the fact that my friend's parents had approved the quizzes made me like, oh, there's no reason I should tell my parents this, like, we're good. And then as it started out slowly, I was like, oh, a little kissing's not bad. Like they do that in like a Disney movie with like a princess movie that's like super clean, like we're fine. And so as it slowly went on, like I had probably been addicted for a few months before I even realized it. Like I was sitting one day and was like, wait, oh, like goodness, like, wow. Like, I think I'm addicted. Like I didn't realize that. Like it was just this sudden like realization of like, oh, I've been addicted for a long time and I didn't realize it. And so I think that might've played a big factor into why I didn't know.
Yeah. And so what's interesting too, is you and your mom have a pretty, and your dad have a really strong relationships.
Yeah.
So interesting that you hid it for a year. And talk to me about like, what was your reasoning for that?
So my reasoning for that was actually, I was really worried that I would disappoint them if they found out that I was struggling. Mm-hmm. So I was determined that once I realized it was a problem that I was going to fix it on my own. And then I could talk to them about it. Be like, hey, I struggled with this. I fixed it. It's better. Whereas like what ended up happening was that I couldn't fix it on my own and they ended up finding out. And so I just felt all of this guilt and shame. Like I'm such a good person. How could I do this? And so I just like, that was completely why I hid it from them.
Yeah. It's so interesting. And then, so looking back, how do you feel like your personality changed while like you're doing these things and you're probably hiding these things, probably feeling guilty about these things. So how is your relationship affected with your family members, your personality, all of those things?
So the really interesting thing about mine was my mom always expected that if one of us did get into something, that she would be able to tell that our behaviors would change, that we would become super grumpy, not helpful, like all of the different signs that would show that something was going on. For me, I still stayed a super nice, helpful person. I still really loved hanging out with my family. There were a couple little things like I would try to get out of scripture study by saying I had a ton of schoolwork to do. Or different things like that. And so there were little things, but one of the things my mom said surprised her the most was the fact that overall my personality didn't change. Mm. And so while the inside and internally I was beating myself up, I had such a loving family. I didn't have any excuse to take any of my anger or frustration out on them.
Yeah. No. So this is interesting because I've heard this before when somebody like a child does something and a parent's like, wow, that's pretty bad. But this kid went through X, Y, Z, like they'd been abused. They'd had all these things. So they almost give that kid like some space to say like, well, that makes sense because you went through this hard thing.
Yeah.
But like, so I wonder if that added to any of the guilt or anything, because it's like, I don't have anything like that. Like I have these nice family and it's not like I'm checking out because they're yelling at me all the time.
Mm-hmm. Like I had no excuse. Like I had good friends. My school life was good. Like there was nothing that I could use as an excuse for why I was doing it.
Yeah. So you said that then you got caught. Is that right?
Yes.
So what did that look like?
Okay, so for me personally, that ended up looking like I was with my mom and we happened to be sitting and I was showing her something on my phone. And after I had closed it, she like went to look at something else and I totally acted all like, oh no. And she was like, hey, what's going on? And I just like broke down and ended up telling her because she was going to find out.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, tell me about that conversation as much as you feel comfortable.
So initially I was like completely horrified and I sat there like, oh no, like they just found out, like it's been a year since I've been struggling with this and I've been lying to them. I completely expected, like, while I have a really good relationship with my mom and she's super loving, I partly expected her to get mad because it's such a big thing to have a struggle with that and to have lied to her for a year. But she actually responded super nicely, which I think was what helped the most with the process going forward. She talked to me about it and then was like, okay, well, we need to talk to your dad. I'm going and getting him now. And I was like, oh no, like not do that. Like, no, please don't. And so they ended up getting my dad. She did. And we sat down and I like basically just laid out what happened, kind of how it had led. But I actually didn't reveal how bad it was until weeks later. Like slowly as we kept having conversations, it finally came out how big of a problem it was, how much time I was spending on it, and how pornographic they did get.
Interesting. So now tell me about your recovery process.
Yeah, so my recovery process was interesting because I was struggling with stories, which most people don't address in like addiction recovery programs.
Right.
And so that was interesting. And we couldn't really find a whole lot of good resources. And so my mom did a lot of praying and researching and looking for things. And she ended up being led to different books that were super helpful. So I would read the books. We had a reporting system. One of the biggest things for me was an award system. So every week that I went without it, my personal reward was I got to watch a Hallmark on the day that it had been a week. And okay. So I did that. And then when it was like 3 months, we did something special. When it was 6 months, we just like would do different types of reward system things. And then when it started over, like if I slipped up, we would start counting at the beginning again. And so okay. That was a big part of it. I spent a lot of time talking with my mom because, as you know, she kind of does like coaching and different things. And so she was the biggest like therapist for me because she knows how to do that stuff. And so we did a whole lot of talking, just working through all of the emotions I was feeling. I think the biggest thing that was helpful for me in my recovery journey, which I know not everyone can do because of school stuff, my parents had me take a complete break from all school and shut off all technology access for me for a full 2 months. And it was really rough. And I was very livid with them. I have never been so mad with them in my life. And I was super mad.
Yeah.
And my addiction was so hard because I spent like hours a day doing it. And so at nights I would wake up at like 3 a.m. with like physical withdrawals, like literally shaking back and forth with nothing I could do because I had access to nothing. All of the passcodes had been changed. Everything had been taken away. Like there was nothing I could do. And so I think having that distance though, like from different people I've started working with and talking to, because they have access to things, they keep going back. And so it just takes the brain longer to rewire itself. And so this was like an easy cutoff of like, nope, you don't get anything for this long other than family movie night. And then after those 2 months, we slowly worked into like, hey, you can use the computer for school if you're sitting next to people, and oh, you slipped up. Okay, let's do this. So different things like that. But overall, it's become really good and I'm in a really healthy place, which is super nice.
Yeah, it's just such an interesting journey, you know? And so like looking back, because hindsight's 2020, right? And maybe how your mom and dad parent the other siblings. So how do they approach technology different with them?
Yeah. So after my struggle, my parents changed a lot of the technology rules and have since decided that none of us get Apple phones anymore because you can search so many things on them. And so I even have a Tromi phone and it's been really nice not having like that temptation, especially because my addiction was so bad. And so like, even when I'm turning 18, I'm like, I kind of want to keep my phone without Siri. Like, no, I'm good. I don't need to search anything. So we don't have normal phones. And then whenever we're using a computer, we have to be sitting up to the kitchen counter and someone else has to be in the room just so that like, that way, if stuff does pull up accidentally, like there's someone there, or it's like a more obvious place that someone else could see if you are getting into something. And then we don't have passcodes to anything. So right. It might be strict for some people, but it has worked. So
Yeah. Well, it's interesting looking at this from a parent point of view, because like your mom, I think she and I are about the same age, and we didn't grow up obviously with cell phones or even really computers. And if you had a computer, there was no internet, or it was dial up and like completely different ballgame. Yeah. Right. So here we have our kids and it's like, yeah, like I have a phone. Right. It's fine. Like you can have a phone, but the more I get into it and the more children I've had, so my children that are Josh and Tess that are just a little bit younger than you, we don't even do smartphones anymore. And we actually do the old school Nokia brick phones no internet, no nothing, just because like some of us had to learn the hard way.
Mm-hmm. It's so true.
The best ways. But you know what this makes me think of too, Lissa, is I had the scripture up. So that's what I'm going to look at. And it's a little bit hidden by some school scissors, but it's in Peter and it says, be sober, be vigilant. Because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I know for myself as a parent that sometimes I like have a kid like you that I'm like, I don't need to check these things. Mm-hmm. I don't need to go look at their search history. I don't need to go look at this because look at her. She's a gem. She's just so delightful. And like, if you met, like you can hear, listen, you can hear she's just a light and her family's a light and you would never guess these things. Right. And so I think like as parents, we need to be much more vigilant.
Yeah.
Even if our kid is putting on a really good face.
Mm-hmm. That's actually my biggest first tip for parents is we call it the NMK syndrome, not my kid syndrome
or
syndrome. Like, oh, they're so good. They won't do this. Or my kids won't get into that. Or I'm like, everyone's human. It's everywhere. They're bound to come across it. And literally it's just like the science of the brain. So even if they're a super good person, have really good values, like I've learned so much about the brain, and that's actually what took away the shame for me. Cause I felt so much shame. Like I must be this horrible person. And so the science of that, like it releases chemicals and all the different things that it does. Like that was what fixed it. And like knowing that can help you be like, okay, just because my kid's really good doesn't mean they couldn't accidentally get into something.
And I think it's, I mean, I'm not happy you had this addiction at all. Right. But I think your story is interesting because we always put it on boys. Boys will struggle with pornography. Boys will struggle with this, but girls, you're fine.
Great.
Right. Like how often does that come up? Like, do you have other teen girls? Like I struggle with this too, but like people tell me girls don't. So then I feel stupid.
Mm-hmm. It's been crazy. The more people I have actually opened up and shared with, people I honestly personally never expected would have struggled, which is crazy because I didn't think I would. Yeah. We're like, hey, I struggled too. And I was like, wait, hold up. Like you had this struggle. I didn't think like, wait, what? You had that too? And like, there have been a bunch of girls that opened up like, oh, I came across this. And I was like, oh, like, wow, that's crazy. And apparently statistics have come out recently that like the girls being affected by it has gone on the rise, which I think has a lot to do with like all of the internet access that we have. Like girls have as much access as the boys do. So it would make sense that since our brains release the same chemicals, girls would struggle as well.
Right. Well, and we're all designed to want to procreate and have sex and do all those things. And so to me, I like taking away the shame aspect of with it is like, oh, your brain works.
Exactly.
You like this is wonderful news. Right? Exactly. So your first tip was to like not my kid.
Mm-hmm.
What's your like what are your let's go through your tips for parents.
So the not my kid one is just really important because I didn't think I would struggle. My mom didn't think I would struggle. And so just like being aware of it can help you put things in place up with the rest of the kids. Let's see, where did my papers go? This is a mess. I had it written down somewhere.
You're fine.
Okay.
But I think that first one's huge. Of really just like, maybe my kid.
Exactly.
Without a critical being overprotective, but just like, I'm the lioness at the gate. I need to protect what's coming into my home.
So true. Okay. So the second one is your house isn't as safe as you think, which can sound kind of harsh, but the biggest thing is filters don't catch everything. So we have the most extreme filters possible and they didn't catch the websites that the stories are on that I'd read. So we had to go in once my parents knew about it and personally block each of them because otherwise I could still have access. So things like that is important. I'm all for filters. Just know that everything.
Well, you know, what's interesting too, is I found on Amazon, you can read excerpts from books that are extremely pornographic. And so even something as simple as an Amazon app, like you can look up lingerie, you can look up like read stories and whatnot. And so I don't think any filter would block out Amazon.
It's so true. And the other thing is, as I've been working on this, me and my mom have looked into different ways people get around it so that we can make people aware. And it is crazy. There are so many ways to get around filters that like you can't even comprehend. And we actually found like all of these different things, and I do an in-person like discussing it with people, but because teens could possibly listen to the podcast, I won't go more in detail because of it, because it's that crazy. And I don't want to give ammunition, because if I had been in a place and had hurt them, I would have totally used them. And so because we're just very careful of like, hey, we have in-person parents, let's all have a discussion night. Heads up, this is real, but like, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's super interesting. And I found that like in a lot of kids, it is an innocent thing that a filter would not catch.
Yeah. Like, I heard this kid, he was looking up science terms.
Okay.
Really inappropriate images came up, and it started a whole really big struggle for him, which is so sad. Where I'm like,
yeah.
Or like another person, she was looking up like artistic draw, like how to draw certain things that happen from some Disney movie. And instead of what was supposed to come up, something else pulled up. And I was just like, this world is crazy. Like,
Yeah. So I think that's just really good. Like protecting your home as much. And it's interesting too, because sometimes magazines will get sent to your house. And I know people who got started with pornography with bras ads.
That's so hard.
Right. So yeah, I like that. Like be much more vigilant in protecting your home.
Yeah. And the third one kind of goes into that of trust, but verify. So okay. I know a lot of parents say like, oh, but like, I trust this kid. Like I do, which is wonderful and what we should do, but we don't trust necessarily the devil or the human brain. Like we have chemicals. So even if your child is really good, you should still check things like just continuously. Like I wish my parents had checked. Like they did have a consistent checking them, but I found ways to get rid of search history. So if your kid doesn't know how to do that, like being able to check and just have access to all of your kids' stuff is just like so, so important.
Yeah. Did your family, like at the time, were phones allowed in your bedroom, different things like that? So like, so are those.
Currently our policy is phones can't leave the kitchen.
Okay.
So they stay in there. They're like, if you need to text someone, you can use it in the kitchen. I don't care where in the kitchen, but you have to be in the kitchen. But before that I could have it in my room. And so I mostly use that more than a computer.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting because not even the pornography side of it, but like just even teens I've coached who can have get on their phone at night and are texting all night long.
Yeah.
And it's affecting their sleep and their mood. And then there's drama with this person and this person. And like, you're getting yourself so riled up. So just having that technology and the blue light in your eyes at night is affecting so much more, even if you're not looking at porn.
Yeah. So true. And it like, even that can become an addiction. Like they've showed that like social media or like texting on your phone, like just all the different things that can affect your well-being, where I'm like, even if it's not sinful or wrong or bad, it's still not great for you.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have another tip?
Yes. Let me move this. Okay. Number four, be clear with your kids. And what I mean with this one is that you should have set clear rules. Because I know a lot of parents, they like have some and then things happen. And then they like some kids feel like they can change based on the situation or the kid, which is super difficult because parents are just trying to manage everything at once. So I completely understand it. But we have found that having clear rules is the best way to keep your kids protected, as well as know what to do when something does go wrong. And so just having like conversations of like, this is what's allowed, this is what's expected. If you come across this stuff, you need to come talk to us. Just different things like that are super important. And can be laid out. I also think it's good to have a technology agreement. And so like have a family meeting of like, this is what our rules are. We need you all to agree to them. Things like that kind of stuff. And then number five is.
Well, I'm going to stop you real quick on that one, because to me, it reminds me of like a fire drill. Like fires, obviously we don't use fires in our houses anymore, right? But like the stove or something like that, like heat and all those things are amazing, but if they're left out of control, they'll burn your house down. Right. So it's like, yeah, here is the safety rules with fire. Here's how we use these things in our house. And like, if something catches on fire, here's how we put it out. So to me, it's just a very intentional way to say like cell phones and technology is amazing, but it's like fire. It has to be contained and controlled.
That's a beautiful connection. Like so true.
Yeah. Okay. What's your next one?
Okay, so the fifth one is be their safety net, be their safe place. So with this one, practice how you would respond if your kid comes to you having struggled with pornography or a big issue like that. Because one of the biggest problems is I go and speak to youth and I encourage them to talk to their parents. And sometimes when they do, their parents not meaning to backtrack on the steps or make for the kid by acting really shocked or being upset or condemning or like, how could you get into this? And so like the kid probably already feels shame and guilt over it. Hence they hid it from you. Mm-hmm. And because of that, like, so just like practicing how you would respond and figuring out how you could most kindly respond to them, just like being their safety net, wanting to keep things protected, but also like when they do have struggles, just being compassionate.
Yes. And I definitely, I love that you said practice it, because if you've listened to the podcast for a while, you'll know my old co-host Karin that Alyssa already knows, also knows. And her husband, we talked about this because he's a sex therapist, and he put down words on a card and you couldn't look at it. And you had to flip it over and say, your kid just asked you, what is this? And you need to explain it to them. Right. So to me, like you almost would play a card game. Okay. Like my kid said, I had sex. Boom. What are you going to do? Right. Like my kid says, I got drunk. Boom. Here's how I'm going to have, like, you know what I mean? Like a weird game, but like role-playing, like, okay.
It's so important though. Yeah. Cause as parents, like they need you to be their safety net. They need you to be their safe place, especially like with once I was trying to get out of my addiction, if my parents had responded badly at all, that would have definitely encouraged me to not talk to them about it as I kept slipping and making mistakes and would have made it harder to continue to open up, which was definitely needed in order to get better. So just like being their safety net, being there for them of like, okay, you struggled with this. That doesn't mean I'm going to say that behavior is okay, but it does mean I'm still here for you. I still love you. Let's work through this together.
Yes. And I think this is a huge part of like everything I preach on this podcast as a parent is love is the best. Love is the absolute best. Sure. And as I think of something, even my kids struggling with something, let's say they just had a simple lie, right? Yeah. So it's not the end of the world. It wasn't horrible or anything like that. But just like, oh, interesting. I wonder why they felt like they needed to lie to me, and just getting curious with them and just loving. And ultimately, I feel like as a parent, I'm trying to emulate my savior.
So true.
Because he didn't, the woman in adultery, he didn't call her names. He didn't like, I'm disgusted with you. He's like, go and sin no more. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, and I just think that we're like, if we showed up with that with our kids and just like, okay, let's not do it anymore.
Yeah. And I also love when you pointed out that story of like, he asks her, where are thine accusers? Of like, yeah. I'm not accusing you for this. Don't accuse yourself for it. Let's just work on getting better. Like, okay, that happened. It's in the past. Let's move forward.
Yes. Because even as an adult, I want that same grace, mm-hmm. right? Like when I make a mistake, when I like say something I wish I wouldn't have said or done something like that, like I don't want somebody to hang it over my head. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine like if you've been struggling with something for a year, 6 months, a month, whatever it is, and to have a parent just rub it in and just like, well, I can't trust you because we know you're a pervert, or we, you know what I mean? Like call names and do all these things. I'm not, you know, I'm not calling you names, right?
Oh, I know. Okay. Yeah, all good. I think also with that, like it's hard because after I did, my parents really couldn't trust me because I had hidden it from a year. But also with that, they're like, hey, we're putting these things in place. Once you earn trust back, you can have more access to things. But like there was no name calling with it, which is why I loved that you pointed that out of like, there's no shame in it. There's no condemning. It's just like, hey, this is the situation. Let's move forward as best as we possibly can.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, though. And this is where I think the biggest obstacle is because you've had a change of heart. Mm. So here you are, you're like, okay, I have this phone. I'm actually not going to upgrade to a smartphone because the temptation is super real. And to me, that shows you've actually had a change of heart. And I think that's where the trust has come in with maybe on your parents' end is because you're like, I don't want it.
Agreed.
Right. That's- and I think when a child, oh, sorry, what was that?
I was just saying that totally is what happened because originally when they took it away, I was so upset. I was like, I am moving out as soon as I'm 18. I will go buy myself a phone. Like, this is just wrong. Whereas now I'm like, okay, you cared. That was actually helpful. I guess I can see it from a non-addicted, like you're taking away my addiction point of view where I like physically needed it at the time.
Yes. Cause I see sometimes with teens is like, I'll play your game. I will like, tell me X, Y, Z, what I got to do so I can get that phone back.
Yeah.
Tell me X, Y, Z so I can get whatever the addiction is back.
Yep.
And whenever they're really jonesing for it again, to me, they're just putting on a front, and that heart has not changed at all.
So true.
So what do you feel like then, like before, do you have more, I'm guessing you have more tips, but I do want to ask you, like, what helped you then to have the change of heart to, like, now you go and share a message and, like, you're like, I know this is a temptation for me, so I'm not even going to get a smartphone.
So I think what really happened was originally, like, I was totally like, okay, what steps do I have to do to get this back? Cause they were like, I think we'll give you your Apple phone back when you're 18, because like you had it, like we should just give it back. And I was like, okay, like what do I need to do? And I kept like bringing it up a couple, yeah, like continuously, because I wasn't given clear instructions and that was driving me crazy. Yeah. And so over time, what I think really helped was the distance from the addiction, as I slowly became less and less attached once withdrawals wore off. Once that wore off. And then I read a bunch of Christian books. I had to, I read the scriptures every day because I was super upset and mad at God. Mm. And so I actually decided that I would make out a list of rules. I was like, okay, God, I need to know this in order to know you're real and loving. And in return, I'll do this. And so my list included reading from the Book of Mormon every day, even though I didn't like it and didn't really feel comfortable while reading it, and that I would do my addiction recovery stuff. And so I did that every day for like 6 months. And at the end of the 6 months, I totally had a change of heart of like, okay, I guess this is true. And so I think like reading the Book of Mormon and reading books that talked about Jesus Christ and talked about like self-love and self-worth and like you can change, you can get better, your past doesn't define you, it's not like who you are forever. And so just reading a bunch of different things and like filling my soul back up with goodness was really what helped change my heart from being in such a dark place to being in a place where all I want to do is share, because I remember how painful it was. And I remember that like it got to the point where I wanted to take my own life because I thought I was such a horrible person. And because of that, I'm now in a place where I'm like, other people do that. They feel like that. I would like to help them because it's such a hard, lonely place to feel and to be in, because you think no one else has felt the way you do. And so just sharing like, hey, there is someone that struggled. They've gotten better. There's hope for you. And so that has totally been like my inspiration of like, I've been filled with loveliness and I remember what it was like to not be in this place. And I really want to help people get out of it.
Yeah. So powerful. Isn't it interesting? Cause I don't know. I don't think you're a listener of the podcast. I'm not offended. It's okay. But like a few months ago, I shared like my journey of like attempting suicide as young as 8. Right. And again, in high school and repeatedly and all these things and how dark I was. And now that I share this message of hope and happy families can be created and all of these things, all of a sudden it gave my pain purpose.
So
and
true.
Not that, like, and not that I think you're ever like, oh, that was so great that I was addicted to this for a year, or even like, I'm so glad, but it's almost like, oh, there was a purpose.
It's a terrible piece of my past. Like, we made loveliness out of it. I actually heard this quote recently, that once you share your past and do things with it, you have control over your past and your past no longer has control over you. Of like, as soon as you're willing to like face it and do something good with it, it no longer controls you. You control it, which I think is just like totally goes along with that of like, you made something lovely out of something that was so broken.
Wow. I love that. That's beautiful. Okay. I cut you off. I don't know how many tips you have.
Okay, there's just two more.
Okay, so perfect.
This one is mostly for homeschool families. And the thing is, fill your homeschool with loveliness and joy. So
Can I get an amen?
Yes, amen. So growing up, my heart was filled with so much loveliness. Like my mom always took us out in nature. We read lovely books and poetry, like all of the beautiful things of homeschool. That homeschool allows that public schools don't always get people. And the cool thing with that was my soul was so filled with loveliness that we have actually found that my recovery journey has been more quicker, like faster than other people's who didn't have that background.
Wow.
So we felt like a bunch of mud and like awfulness and darkness was dumped on top of my loveliness. As slowly as the darkness was removed, once it got back to like the loveliness, I was able to heal much faster. Whereas other people who didn't have that, we had to start with like removing the stuff and then actually give them something to fill themselves with.
Whereas interesting.
Where homeschool can be super lovely because you can have that.
Yeah. It makes me think of like, here you were this beautiful flower and you got a little bit of dirt on you.
Yeah.
Once you got the dirt off, the flower was still standing, but maybe some other kids are still a seed in the ground.
Exactly.
And so you have to nurture that to even become that flower of beauty. That's powerful. Do you have any like favorite things of homeschool loveliness that your mom has incorporated?
Ooh, that's a splendid idea. Growing up, I loved fairy tales.
Oh, I did know that because you are a writer, right?
I love writing fairy tales. They're beautiful. So I like fairy tales. They like fill my soul. I love just that they have lots of sweet lessons. Like they're just teach good morals most of the time. And so it's just super sweet. We also did art every week growing up, which sometimes I was like, we're drawing like a gingerbread man. Like we're viewing. But like it still filled my soul with loveliness. Or we'd like study a musician like Bach or different people. And like all of the just like, I love that. Let's see. I really loved history books, like learning stories of people that like went through concentration camps, struggled through war, went and served missions in like India and like saved these kids, like just different things that like builds your soul of like, I want to be a good person. And I want to have a character like this of just that, like filled it to the point that once all of the stuff was removed, that was able to help support it.
Okay. That's awesome. Okay. What's your last tip?
Okay, so the last one is relationships, which we kind of talked about a little bit, but one of the most important things you could do is to build a good relationship with your kids, which you absolutely do a lovely job of. I've seen you with your kids, and I absolutely appreciate it because it's just like my mom did that with me, and it was the biggest thing that has helped me get through. Like the reason that I didn't end up taking my own life was because my siblings and my parents were so loving, and like I constantly felt loved by them, even though I didn't think I deserved it. And I thought if they knew what was going on, they wouldn't love me anymore. But once they did, I realized like, okay, you still love me. I don't love myself, but I suppose there is something kind of worth loving. And so just having that relationship where you can like support and love different people. Another thing with relationships is, never try very hard not to talk too badly about people that struggle with pornography, because I was actually just a couple of months into getting recovered when I heard a mom discussing the fact that she would never let her daughters date anyone that had ever struggled with it. And I was like,
interesting.
I feel like I just got stabbed. Like, apparently you never let me date your sons. Like, ow. And so just like making sure that when you do say things like, yes, pornography isn't good. And so you shouldn't ever like let it pass as something that's not bad, just not making the person that struggles with it bad. And so like having relationships, being careful what you say about it, and just building that solid relationship, because even if they do hide things, normally it wasn't because they don't love you. For me, it personally came from because I loved her and because I loved my dad, I didn't want them disappointed in me. Mm-hmm. And so just like having that relationship, so once they do know, once you as a parent do know, you can just help them get better, and you can be there as their support system of like, we can keep going. I'm your cheerleader. Let's keep going. I get you fell again. It's okay. Like you've got this. And so just having that like solid relationship of, I love you. Let's put loveliness into your life and let's keep going.
That's so awesome. And just like a total shout out to your mom. I know my children love your mother. I don't know if I even said her Paige. Her mom is Paige Anderson. If you've had the opportunity to meet her, I know you already love her because she exudes love. Like, I don't know. There's a few people like that, that they're just, their heart is just good.
So true.
Right. And so like, I know my own children feel really safe with your mom. This is one thing I think I want to, because I don't want it to be a doom and gloom. Like, here we have this amazing family and there were two parents in the home and siblings and they're doing everything right. And Lissa then made this choice.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it shows that everything worked out,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you have your agency, and every child and every adult is going to make quote unquote bad choices sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But when we have love in that relationship, and I've seen this in people whose kids like go way off the deep end, but when they keep that connection, it mm-hmm. always brings everybody home.
Yeah. So true.
Yeah. And so, and that's the thought that stuck out to me, is that it always works out. It may not look the way you want it to look. Right. Right. And
I would have never anticipated this, or probably if they were like, what, you could go through this, I'd be like, no, like, I'm not sure about that, but like it all worked out in the end.
Yeah. So we've left a lot of messages for the parents here, but what message would you leave for teens who, whether or not it's pornography, or whether it is, I mean, gossiping, whether or not it is like drugs or something else, maybe sex or anything like that, and they're starting to go down this path, what would your advice be to them?
Okay. So my two, like probably three biggest things, one, let go of shame. know that you're human. It's okay. Everyone's going to make mistakes. That doesn't justify it, but it does mean you shouldn't be hard on yourself. Don't beat yourself up over it. Give yourself grace. Like, that's what Jesus Christ does. Yeah. The second one is get help. You can't do this alone. I tried. I know lots of people that have tried. It doesn't work like that. We need help. We need people. There's a reason we're set up in families, that we have friends, that like we need support systems. So get help. And then the third one, just like give yourself grace and love and find Jesus, because he is completely the answer. He is what's given me hope. And just know that like there is always hope to change.
So, so powerful. So Alyssa, can people book things with you to like have you come and talk to about your story, or do you help people? Like, what's like would be a next step for people?
I have a website. It's just lissaanderson.com. On there, they can-
I was going to say, spell your name though, because I always spell it wrong.
Yes. Okay. Liss Anderson, L-Y-I-S-S-A, and then Anderson, S-O-N at the end. Mm-hmm. On there, they could request me to come speak. I also have a resource page going up soon to help with pornography. There are a lot of other people that also do super helpful things like that, like Smith Alley and Fortify. They have lots of different things that I have found that have so far been helpful for other people as well as for me. And then I recently started a podcast and just released the first one yesterday, because I've been asked to speak in places like across the state, and I can't drive all the way there myself because I'm 17. So that's why that was started, just to help and bless people. So yeah.
That's super awesome. And they can find the links to that from your podcast and from your website.
Yep.
Okay. And then do you still have your sibling challenge listed on there?
It is. Okay.
Do like a very Reader's Digest short, like what is the sibling challenge?
Okay. So growing up, my mom had us do a challenge based on the Book of Mormon, because she had seen one based on the Bible. And basically we went over a bunch of different lessons. And when I was older, so many people kept asking my mom for it. She was like, how about you just put it together? So with her help, we put together the sibling challenge, and basically it uses sibling relationships from the Book of Mormon to help siblings build relationships with each other centered on Christ-like things, which is super important because, as I mentioned, I struggled with suicide and my siblings were one of the greatest helps for that. And so just building good sibling relationships that aren't always perfect, but have lots of love and Christ-centered kindness in them.
Hey, you are a beautiful soul, and thank you for your courage and willingness to share your story and be willing to help so many other people.
Thank you for having me on here. I'm so glad.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Bye.
Are you ready to take the concepts learned on this podcast to the next level? Then I invite you to join Mama's Members, a place where I will help you succeed in your family and homeschool beyond what you thought was possible. You will have access to hours of content, a place to ask questions, and weekly coaching calls to help you be the amazing homeschool mom you are called to be. To sign up, go to www.coachmegthomas.com/join. I can't wait to see you there.